What are two things that can trip us up really easily? Number one, jealousy. Jealousy. Hard to imagine, but I've thought about this a long time over the years. You know, when we overcome sin by the grace of God, when we are convicted and we go before God and we cry out for mercy because God has put his finger on something in our life, and if you've ever felt the finger of God, you know, man, that presses deep. When he puts his finger on you, it makes you squirm a little bit. When you've been under that finger of God and you've broken down and said, yes, Lord, have mercy on me. And he gives grace, and we're able to overcome those things in our life. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have a changed heart. We are repentant because we have a change of heart about that sin. We no longer rationalize it with a million different excuses. We say, God, you're right. I was wrong. And it's ugly, and it's unholy, and I want nothing to do with it anymore. When we overcome sin by the grace of God, it's amazing the compassion we have in our heart for other people who deal with the same sin, isn't it? We can relate and be like, man, I've been there. Brother, man, let me pray for you. You know, I don't want to see you go through that. I know what that's like to be in bondage to that thing. But if we're just gutting it out, you know, we see this thing in our life where, no, we're not supposed to be doing it. We don't want people to really, you know, come down on us, or, you know, maybe there's some regulations or rules we have to comply with, and so we know we shouldn't be doing it. We could get in trouble for whatever reason. We don't really have a change of heart about their sin. There's no true repentance. We just try to, by the sheer power of our will, I'm not going to do that anymore. I am Superman. I will just stop sinning. When we just try to gut it out like that, we become very susceptible to a couple of different things. And one is we can become jealous of other people who are still engaged in that sin, because we haven't had a change of heart about it. Inside, truth be told, we still want to do that. And we are struggling. We are white-knuckled. In fact, there's a saying among counselors in addictive therapy, white-knuckling. It means I'm just gutting it out by my own strength. We are white-knuckled trying not to do that thing, and we see so-and-so across the street, man, they are just laying it out. Man, they are rolling in it, and they're not worried about it. They don't seem to be having any bad consequences. Life looks good for them, and it's almost flaunting it in our face, and we get jealous. We would never admit to ourselves that we're jealous of them. I mean, we're above that. You know, we're Christians. But in our hearts, maybe we look at that, and there's something inside of it that says, man, sure would love to be doing that. Boy, they're lucky they get to do that. You know, I don't know, you know, even in public school, you probably encounter kids who are trying to live a good Christian walk, man, but everywhere around them, the kids are just going nuts. And they're like, well, you shouldn't live like that, but something inside of them says, it sure looks like they're having fun. You don't have to be a teenager either. You can be an adult. You know, people who spend without control, you know, before their credit catches up to them, you know, and they're getting all these good things, and they don't even have a job, and you're working, you know, 60 hours a week, and they're buying all this stuff, and you're going, you know, they really ought not to be doing that, but inside you're thinking, oh, man, I was wanting to buy that myself, and I just haven't had the money. How come, you know, just a little green monster comes up? Jealousy. I had to give it up. If I had to give it up, you have to give it up too. If I can't do it, you can't do it either. That's not a godly attitude. That is not a holy perspective. We can become jealous of people who have still not given up that sin, and our outcry against them may be jealousy disguised as righteousness. Jealousy wearing a nice righteous hat and a nice righteous suit. How dare they? Now, it doesn't even have to be something you've actually given up. You know, if it's still in you, if for instance, people who sin in secret are often jealous of people who sin openly because they're jealous of the fact that they're not ashamed. I have to cover it up, and they're doing it openly. God, those heathen. You know, well, I'm struggling with my sin. Yeah. Jimmy Swaggart, right before he was busted. And I saw him before his life really got out of control, man. The Holy Ghost was all over that place when he was preaching. That's where I got saved. But you know, he let his life go down a path. And right before he got busted for his sin, he was openly condemning another preacher, jumping all over some guy. I forget the guy's name. Jumping all over him for some affair he had had with a woman or something like that. And I remember seeing it on the cover of a magazine, how he was denouncing this guy and all this kind of stuff. And then a couple weeks later, bam, the dam broke. Oh, son of a gun. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I was in a hotel room with a prostitute. Wow. Again, Thursday night, Compass Group. Man, I love what goes on in Compass Group. That's fun, man. We talk about Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 1. Paul said, "Therefore you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself." Let these words sink in for a moment. You are inexcusable, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. Now, even if we don't actually practice it, even if we covet it in our heart, in God's eyes, we might as well be doing it. Now, when we talk about judging people, and I'm not talking about confronting people about sin. That's not judging people. Scripture tells us, you know, if your brother sins, go to him. Confront people about their sin. In judging, we're talking about when we get this attitude that we are so much better than other people because of their sin. Boy, they're doing that, and boy, if they were spiritual as I am, they would never do that kind of stuff. Looking down on them, patronizing, condescending against them. That's what he's talking about, judging them. Thinking that we are so much holier than them or so much better than them and really looking down upon them. When we're doing that, if we're displaying that sense of inferiority, we need to be very careful. Because sometimes the things we condemn the most are the very things that we're doing. That's often the case. If somebody does something that really highly offends you and gets you mad, that's a red flag. I better check myself because that might be something I'm guilty of myself. Often the things we get mad about in others are the things that we're doing. And it offends our pride, which brings me to my second thing that we need to be careful of. When we examine our heart, when we get ready to mess with someone else's sin, watch out for jealousy. Number two, watch out for pride. The things that we are most prideful about in ourselves can be the things that we are most merciless about in other people. I have seen this happen over and over and over in a variety of different situations. I knew a man once. Wonderful guy. Loved him dearly. And when I say what I'm about to say, I don't mean to cast a disparaging light on the guy. The guy was really a wonderful guy. He had lived through some very hard financial times in his life. He was an older man, and he had learned in the course of his life to be very frugal and manage his money just amazingly, brilliantly. Had every penny accounted for. He could live on next to nothing because he managed his money so well. He had electric bills from 30 years ago that he still held on to. He had everything organized, line upon line. He knew his stuff. I admired him. But one day after dinner, when we were having dinner with him, several of us, his wife had a dirty fork and was about to put it on top of a stack of clean paper plates. She didn't want to put it on the table and dirty the table. And there was no room on her own plate, and she just was about to reach over and put it on top of this paper plate that was in a stack of clean paper plates. And he suddenly hollered at her and scolded her severely, saying, "That is a clean paper plate. Don't put that on there. That can be used later to eat off of." I felt horrible for this woman because for the sake of a lousy 2-cent paper plate, he was willing to embarrass and humiliate and shame her in the presence of all her best friends. And I wanted to cry for this woman. And it was because of pride. Yes, he was probably severe with himself in order to get that kind of meticulous control over his money. I'm sure in his life he was severe with himself and really disciplined himself to watch every little penny. And that's how he was able to get to that state of you know, whatever it was that he was at. But his own pride, when it came out against his wife, was a horrible, ugly thing that embarrassed and humiliated her.